Oral Roberts should be banned from the NCAA competition, USA Today editorial. Michael Grabowski. Thanks, Brian.
Yep. Grabowski. Yep, and this one's coming to us from Christian Post, but he's referencing a USAA Today editor comment.
All right, let's get started.
So an editor employed by USA Today has suggested that Oral Roberts University, a Christian institution that has made a Cinderella run to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA's men's basketball tournament, should be banned from NCAA competition over its policies on sexuality. A private school based in Oklahoma, founded by charismatic televangelist Oral Roberts, ORU, has an honor code that prohibits students from engaging in sexuality or same-sex marriage. Hamal Javairi, editor and columnist at For the Win, which is part of USA Today, penned a column, what was published on Tuesday, claiming the university's deeply bigoted anti-LGBTQ plus policies can't and shouldn't be ignored. Now, as Oral Roberts gains national attention, the focus shouldn't be just on their very good men's basketball team, but on their prejudiced teachings and moral regressiveness, wrote Javairi. The NCAA has always been more about paying lip service to ideals of equality and inclusion than action. But Oral Roberts' inclusion in the men's tournament proves how little they actually care about those words, which are emblazoned on their basketball courts. Javairi.
What words are emblazoned? I missed that. What words are emblazoned?
Equality. This year, it's equality.
That's what's on their basketball courts?
Yeah, when they paint the, so every year for the tournament especially, yeah. Just like we have our floor resurfaced, they do that every year for the tournament only.
And this year it's equality. What's on our floor going to be? What's on our floor going to be, Jack?
Truth, love, excellence, and unity.
Those four words, equality. Yeah. What does that mean, equality? You know, John, there's nothing equal. I mean, what's equal in life? I mean, what equality? What equality of what? Opportunity? Equality of pay? Equality of... Where does it end?
Well, it can't even be the equality of thought and belief. Because here's what they're saying. They're saying freedom is the highest order. Freedom to believe what you want to believe is the highest order. Freedom to be free of this archaic Judeo-Christian legalism is of the highest order. However, we're not going to allow you to believe it and participate in our event.
Yeah.
It is, I think, the highest level order of illogical fallacy in thought.
Which is, we believe in freedom unless it's not what we believe.
Right.
And then you have no freedom to believe it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so he continues on. Javairi went on to argue that ORU's stance on LGBT issues was nothing short of discriminatory and should expressly be condemned by the NCAA.
What does LGBTQI have to do with basketball? Why can't we just play basketball? It's the infiltration of everything, isn't it?
Which is why I wanted to bring this up. I mean, you know, especially coming through this pandemic and COVID, and professional sports and college sports have taken such a hit and a beating. A lot of people are especially enamored by the fact that March Madness is back and that they're running it. And even several, you know, mainline teams that are always in the tournament missed the cut this year because of COVID. And now it's, while everyone's attention for this month is looking at men's basketball at the collegiate level, now they're trying to draw attention to, hey, let's talk about something else because sports isn't enough.
I just want to point out, Ohio State did not miss the cut because of COVID. They lost, right?
This is true.
They lost.
Yes.
And Michigan still is.
Wasn't Duke one of those teams that missed?
Yeah, Duke and Kentucky. Yeah.
Kentucky did?
Right? Yeah. It was Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the first time they've, in recent history, that they didn't make the cut.
That part is true.
Because of COVID.
Because they had COVID cases and weren't able to do it. Not to be, but this is what's so funny. And I know we're digressing from the article. But today's generation, because of COVID, no, you can't even, the team can't make it into the tournament. But in the 90s, Michael Jordan is famously known for playing with the flu out there on a basketball court. I mean,
well, the flu's different.
It's just so
remarkable.
I mean, he's got basketball shoes that are called the flu games. Like, and people pay premium dollar for those shoes because he persevered through the flu to play in a basketball game.
But nobody has the flu anymore, so
it's
because we're all wearing masks.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we at in the article?
Down here, it's...
The fact is.
Yes, so the fact is, any and all anti-LGBTQ plus language in any school's policies should ban them from NCAA competition, she argued.
Now, isn't that interesting that she has the nerve of saying the fact is? Mm-hmm. The fact is, that's not a fact.
Your opinion is.
Yeah, that's... I don't think. However...
So however accomplished its young student athletes are, the school is a hotbed of institutional transphobia, homophobia, with regressive sexist policies. All right, now think about that for just a second. And I want to, you know, we don't have the picture on this article in front of us, and you can go and check out Oral Roberts's, the pictures of this article. This one's from Christian Post. But this is how so frustrating it is for the world we live in, because they speak out of both sides of their mouth. The picture of these guys celebrating on the floor is a bunch of young, you know, sharp-looking African-American young men who are at the peak of their basketball career. Most of them won't make it to the NBA. It's the first time their schools ever made it into the competition, yet alone they made it through the round of 64, through the round of 32, and now they're headed to the Sweet 16. And that's what we should be excited
this
about.
This is where they'll probably get knocked out, right?
Well, they could make it a little bit further. Florida Gulf Coast did that a couple years ago where no one even knew who they were, and then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, you know, and they could make it pretty far. But
and so instead of being
so rather than being talking about these young men who our world wants to divide everything by color now, okay, you have these young black men who are accomplished athletes. Instead of praising them and you know, giving them the credit for the hard work of them and their team, we have like, oh, the school you attend has these rules and these policies that we don't like, and so we can't acknowledge your accomplishments because of these policies that sit back behind you.
Yep.
And then, so it goes on, it says, and we need to, the average listener to our podcast needs to understand that that sentence we just read, that is where Berean stands. While we would have plenty of disagreements with Oral Roberts, their policies of what is being labeled as a hotbed of institutional transphobia, homophobia with regressive sexist policies, we would describe as a biblical worldview on gender and marriage.
Regressive sexist policies, you're not allowed to believe what you want to believe. You can only believe one thing.
And I also would point out that that language right there is inciting. It's hyperbole.
Yeah, it's hyperbolic.
And the thing is, it is repeated and repeated and repeated in every mainstream media, and yet they lob the accusation that that's exactly what we do on the conservative side of things. It's just rally through hype and hyperbole and language that incites people to action.
Yeah. Well, and we also need to be honest, and we need to recognize that I'm almost positive that Oral Roberts University has the exact same entity, same issues that we have here at Berean, Jack, and that is that, sure, the policies might say one thing, but the students in the school don't always believe those policies.
No. You mean like all of Notre Dame is not filled with conservative Catholics?
Yeah.
My goodness.
And
man.
All of Berean Baptist Academy is not filled?
And everyone at Liberty University believers? Is not radically converted to the power of the gospel? What a thought.
But
or likewise, everyone at Chapel Hill is not a flaming liberal, that there actually might be some conservatives at Chapel Hill who believe in like this traditional nucleus family that has some obnoxious, crazy idea of, like, this guy is dad, and this woman is mom, and they have children, and it's called a family?
Yeah, no, that's what we're saying.
This is where we're at. This is the world that we're living in.
But they don't want to acknowledge the fact that we are willing to acknowledge that this is the policy, but not everyone abides by our policy, and not everyone believes in our policy.
Yeah.
Just because they wear our logo on their shirt.
And we should also be careful to point out that not every Christian university is Christian.
No.
Yeah. Wait a second.
I mean, we didn't bring that up.
You probably think not every church is a church, too. Unreal. Do you write for the Babylon Bee?
No. But I'm sorry, but I don't know.
Golly.
I've always questioned whether or not Oral Roberts was actually within the realm of what we would believe is
Christian. We're not embracing that. All we're saying is, this is insane. Just let the boys play basketball.
Yeah.
Just focus on basketball.
And what we really need to, you know, as we talk about this, and it's not addressed in this article, and it was another one I was looking at when I was finding one, is Abilene Christian, I guess university or college, also made it into the tournament. So they're out in Texas. They got it into the first round, made it, and then lost. So they only made it through the first round. Brought in by that one game of basketball, brought like $72 or $74 million into the institution.
No way.
Yeah, by making it into the tournament and surviving one game, that's all that they counted so far. Over $70 million into their college by making it in one game.
It's because these D1 schools, they receive so much federal funding, they receive so much everything else, and then there's the TV rights, there's the tournament rights, there's the venue rights that gets...
But that school put that in a trust fund, which gets good to go for years.
Which gets shareholded across the thing. So this is a big money thing, too.
Sure. Yeah. And which was the school? There's a Catholic school, I believe it's a Catholic school. Loyola, Chicago.
Yeah.
That has the little old lady that's like their, good luck charm, or whatever that nun.
Good luck charm.
That's what they try to do. What do they do? Like, mosh pit with her?
Yeah, they're like, I mean,
crowd surfing?
But man, they love that story. I wonder why they're not all over.
Well, and that's so frustrating about how, you know, the world we live in wants to. They only want to talk about the things they want to talk about when they want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the way that this is stimulating the economy of a local school. They don't want to talk about the way in which these boys will be viewed as hometown heroes, being the first team ever out of their school to make it to the tournament. They don't want to talk about those things because there's something else that they say is a bigger deal. You can't be forgiven of this. Like, it doesn't matter how far you go in the tournament. It doesn't matter how much money you make for your school. It doesn't matter how upstanding of a morally good team you are, or anything like that, or how much of a Cinderella run you have through the tournament. You don't match up to our agenda, and gender. So, yeah, agenda. no pun intended. And so you don't match up to our agenda, and as a result, we can't support you.
Yep.
Which, if they're... I think we at least can recognize that basketball is one of the kings of the throne in our nation. March Madness is huge.
But it goes back to, I brought it up last night from Micah. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe. The great man utters the desire of his soul, and they weave it all together. You know, it's that idea of there's an agenda that's getting pushed in the government and... the media, sport, they're all weaving the same, they have the same agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And all they're doing is just weaving it all together, trying to have a cohesiveness and push it and cram it down everybody's throat and then paint it like this is, like the fact is, everybody believes this, everybody knows this, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and just to show you one reason why they're not, perhaps, attacking the Loyola place is on their website, Loyola, they talk about the Catholic faith life, they talk about, because it's a Jesuit Catholic thing, but it says, they've got a tab here, a home for all faiths, securing our Jesuit Catholic identity, we understand Loyola University Chicago is a home for all faiths, concretely this support is evident in the presence of Hillel al-Loyola, the student mosque. So that here we have a Catholic Jesuit university with a mosque on campus. We encourage each person to celebrate their personal faith and respect and learn. So, in some ways, Loyola has fell to this liberal idea.
In some ways,
probably for the face of it, Yeah. But we all know that, you know, still Catholicism isn't gone there yet.
No.
So, once again, we've got this, we're going to play both ends against the middle.
Yeah.
Because if you would pin many of those folks down, you know they would be against homosexuality because that's the Bible stance on it.
Yep. All right, let's get to page two.
Jay Maxson of Newsbusters, a branch of the conservative watchdog group, the Media Research Center, labeled Javari a would-be moralistic referee who engaged in anti-Christian hatred. USA Today is obviously out of touch with the First Amendment and the right of religious liberty, wrote Maxson. Maxson argues that attacking the values of Christian universities is now an annual rite and ritual of March Madness media coverage. During March Madness 2 years ago, Deadspin spewed over the same kind of anti-Christian bigotry against Liberty University, the school they called the most hateable in the big dance. Liberty lost in the first round of this year's tournament and was spared of another brutal media assault. Last week, the ORU Golden Eagles delivered a major upset when they defeated the number 2 seed, Ohio State University Buckeyes, in overtime by a final score of 75-72.
All right. Your team got beat by...
Yeah, Buckeyes went... Well, the Buckeyes...
And the dude almost drained a 3 to tie it.
It almost went in.
If this, your school is football, right? I mean,
yeah, Ohio State's better known for football. Yeah, Jonathan does...
Because, yeah, we wear their underwear.
Hey, Jonathan, where are you going? Why are you leaving?
They kill us every year lately. The last 12 years, probably.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's...
So Brian does have bragging rights in that area.
Then on Sunday.
Yeah, so then on Sunday, Oral Roberts secured another upset victory against the number 7 seed Florida Gators.
That's Mike Germany's team.
Yeah, these aren't like, you know, that's what's crazy, and that's part of what makes this, why they call it a Cinderella run. The fact that Oral Roberts defeated number 2 seed means they were second from the bottom in the seed rating. So it's like, what, 16, 7, 15? So they're like a 15 seed. So Ohio State University, and you don't get a number 2 seed by being a mediocre team. Like, there's only 4 number 2 seeds to give. And then the number 7 seed Gators as well. So these are two teams that have made it, you know, good runs and have phenomenal athletic programs. And so they had that victory against the number 7 seed Florida Gators, staging a comeback from a first half deficit to win the game 81-78. So 3 points is the way they like to secure victory. Coach Paul Mills, who recently graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary, stated at a press conference after the game that it was a blessing to coach those guys in that locker room.
So Oral Roberts University's coach is Paul Mills, who graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. So what, Jack, what are you going to say about that? That's a pretty conservative school, right?
Yeah, it doesn't mean everybody believes what the school believes. Didn't you say that earlier?
All right, let's go on. It is a blessing to win, said Mills. The experience that these guys will have, I don't mean to come across as if we are content, but I'm so happy for those players in that locker room. Of course, it's a dream come true, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a one-time
experience. One thing to make it in, because the article is absolutely right. 2 years ago, when Liberty made it in, that was Liberty's first time. You know, when it's not a big deal for the students at Ohio State University to be excited that their team made it into the contest. It's a big deal for Liberty University. It's a big deal for Abilene Christian. It's a big deal for Oral Roberts University. And so that win over the Gators, ORU has entered the Sweet 16, so they went from 64 teams. Now they're down to 16 of the tournament for the first time since 1974. And the team is scheduled to play the University of Arkansas Razorbacks. Now we know why Jack's been silent the whole time. On Saturday.
At 7 p.m. on TBS.
Wow.
And you'll be covering the game coverage.
7:25.
So yesterday I saw Nate filling out his bracket.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder if he picked Oral Roberts to go.
No, nobody picked Oral Roberts.
No, I didn't.
Oral Roberts people.
But I got
didn't pick Oral Roberts.
Rating.
You have a 92% right now?
My bracket's at 92%.
Yeah. Did you do one?
I didn't do one this year.
Right. I wonder if Nate will answer his phone.
They're bringing Nate live on the air.
But the biggest thing is, you know, you talk about the coach being from Dallas Theological. Oral Roberts is I'm sure, paying him a very, very nice salary, and there's not a lot of biblical integration that has to take place in basketball. And I think that would be your contingency, and let the boys play. Just let them play the game in that essence, because, and I guess the liberals' issue is by going to the school, whether they actually officially buy into the school, but by being accepted, by playing on the team, by being in the classroom, they are being brought to a mindset that opposes the trend in our society, and so therefore they're worthy of attack.
But it's not even the Christian schools. I know there are a public school in Pembroke that they bring in a soccer coach from Washington, D.C., and he comes down just for the fall season to coach the boys just because he's a winning coach, and they bring him in and pay, basically he gets paid to make the, you know, for the boys to win. Try to build a team and make them a winning team.
Pembroke has money for that?
Apparently. Or at least that school does.
What I find the most frustrating is on both sides, on the liberal side of things and on the conservative side of things, they've got their iconic spokespeople. They have their talking heads. You know, they have their Sean Hannitys, and they have their Anderson Coopers. And yet, it almost seems like none of them are really talking about the central issue. And the central issue is, okay, in America, if people believe different things, how are we going to govern and how are we going to live together? Because the Scripture does tell us to live at peace with all men if possible. I mean, we are encouraged to do that. So we also have to admit that there are people who are conservative who believe that if people don't believe Christianity, they should be running out of the country too. I mean,
sure.
I listen to those. I see those voices in you know, on Facebook and
we don't support those people.
No, we don't. No. But the reality is that governance and in a world where, in a country where people don't believe the same thing, and that we believe that we have a sense of freedom, is a complex issue and demands some really I think better people to lead us, because really, what I go out and I look for articles mm-hmm. on these topics.
Right.
Like I'm all day today I was looking for an article on the idea that what should a Christian do if you're a school teacher and now your school system says you need to refer to as Albert, who has changed his gender, to Hurt, because I got that email this week.
Mm.
And so now I have to make tough decisions. Thankfully, it's not in my class. Okay? It's pre-kindergarten, by the way, so it'll be a few years before. But someone could come in next year. So, you know, not a single article about that. I also wanted to know about, you know, what about, we live in a protest culture, like climate of protest.
Cancel culture.
Yeah, yeah. And the question is, you know, what is Christian about that? I can't find articles for these things. It's like people have just fallen into talking about, you know, I saw, you know, Fox. Fox is great about, you know, being on the conservative side of things. And I just saw, you know, now after the election and all of this stuff, I saw a new guy has a new show, and he's going to tell us all about how, you know, the bad hombres at the border are going to tear our country apart. And whether there's truth to that or not, I don't know. But my point is, it's the talking point. There's another talking point when it comes to immigration, and that is, how much is sustainable, how much is too much? And who gets to decide?
Yep.
It's almost like nobody's talking about that.
No.
Like, neither side is saying, you know what, there's only so many people that can come into this country. Mm-hmm. So that means there's got to be a limit, and who gets to decide? But there's almost no conversation about that.
Right, and Joe Biden said 2 million is the number he said.
So
2 million. He said we can sustain 2 million. Now, how those 2 million get in is another question that, I mean, the complex issues are not being talked about. Nobody wants to talk about the complex issues. And I think you're right, John. If you work for a governing agency who is expecting you to refer to children by their preferred pronoun instead of their biological pronoun, where does your loyalty to the Word of God and the gender distinctions that you see created and your governing authority, where does that come?
Right. Because I am directly, If I were to call a he a she, I am directly offending the Creator. I am putting my fist in the face of the Creator and saying, what you created as a he, I'm going to call a she because somebody else wants me to.
Yep.
And I just find that untenable.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, fear the one who can destroy the soul.
Well, these issues are incredibly complex, not the one that in particular we were talking about, but all the tertiary issues that are associated with it. And what we're seeing is the kind of the avalanche of the sexual revolution in which they are not content with acceptance. They are not content with tolerance. They will only be content until they dominate the worldview of all. And we are kind of censored to the corner with masks on our face, keeping us from even expressing any opinion. Are we going to let that happen? Is God going to let that happen? He's the sovereign.
A lot of it will come to play in the future, and I think part of this is the propaganda process. They have to stir the country up, because right now you have two things happening in the NCAA. You got the girls, transgender's
going into the women's
course. Going into the women's track and field and dominating.
Yep.
And then you have this basketball tournament going on where you have a policy, a school policy, a school belief system. So they're attacking this, but they're not really engaging this other piece because you got two very outspoken groups now that have ran parallel and complementary to each other against tradition, feminism, and the transgender movement.
Yeah.
And now they're colliding in opposition.
They're like a freight train.
Yeah, they are.
Collision.
And it's going to end up in the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll be able to find out whether Amy Coney Barrett is real conservative or not.
So this is a push on, this is a push for public opinion to
influence
those kind of decisions that will as they come up to the courts.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So. And we have to acknowledge the fact it starts here in the mainline media. They're attacking sports.
But see, it's also at a critical time. We can't dismiss this. March Madness is colliding right now and creating almost a perfect storm when you're dealing with House Bill 8.
Yeah.
As it goes over to the Senate, and whether or not they're going to remove the religious freedom of Oral Roberts, Liberty University, Berean Baptist Academy, Berean Baptist Church, to practice discrimination based upon our faith against things that we would say are directly immoral and against God's word and against our faith and our belief system. We wouldn't discriminate on male versus female except for certain biblically based positions like a pastor. But like a school teacher, we wouldn't, male or female, doesn't matter. We wouldn't discriminate, against ethnicity. We wouldn't discriminate against that. But now when they say that the transgender becomes a protected gender, now we have an issue because we now have more than what we believe by faith to have. And how do we deal with that? And on top of it, these are D1 schools that are receiving federal assistance. That's why they're bringing it into sports. It is because, like you said, Brian, the whole world's watching. Not really, but.
Essentially.
March Madness is huge.
Yep.
And now they have this perfect platform to point out right here, and it'll stir people up. They'll contact senators. They'll contact things, and they're hoping to sway votes.
And it's almost like the assumption is, or the message is, the messaging is, if you become good or famous at anything, you owe it to everybody to bring forth these agendas and use your position as a pulpit for what we say are the incredibly important things, like climate change, the gender issues, and all of that. But, you know, if a Christian were to do that, you know, it's getting less and less honorable, I suppose is a good way to put it.
The only reason I'm even thinking about it, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but I've been watching here the last week or so, The Last Dance on Netflix. It's the documentary of Michael Jordan and the 90s Chicago Bulls when they won back-to-back three-peat mm-hmm. championships. And Michael Jordan was talking about the fact that he faced backlash over the fact that he didn't use his athleticism as a platform for an agenda.
Yeah, he's always been very quiet about it.
He's like, I don't care. And specifically, he was, the episode I was watching the other night, it's been out for a little bit, but he was talking about how in the 90s that there was a black senator or representative that was up, and he didn't come out in public endorsement. And he made this statement, and he said, Republicans buy shoes too, because he wanted to sell shoes. And he dealt with a lot of backlash over it. And
imagine that. He's a capitalist.
Yeah. It was, no. Like, and so it's just so... so indicative of the culture we're in. And, you know, aside from, you know, Jack, what you mentioned about how, yeah, sure, we can, they're saying smoke, but there's fire under there somewhere that we need to be looking for. We also need to understand if they're going to, they're headed into college sports, it won't be long before they're headed into high school sports. Because even, okay, now let's take it out of the college level, go down to the high school level. How many large Christian schools that would have standards or honor code, as the verbiage on the college level is, that would align with us, but they compete against public schools?
I don't know how many there are, but there are some.
I mean, you go up to Raleigh, I mean, it's not, I mean, there are plenty of those private schools, and even here in our town, some of our other Christian schools that we associate with compete with public schools, and it's a little bit different as far as district goes, but... how long before public referee committees won't allow our referees, hey, your students have this code and we won't referee for your games? And
yep.
It's just, if they're willing to start it now, it's just going to slowly, you know, steep its way down.
All right, well, thanks for listening. And if you have any ideas for a podcast, don't hesitate to give it to one of us. Email it or reach out to the church or any way. We'd love to hear from you.